from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State. Online at aarp.org/WV. West Virginia University, online at wvu.edu.
At the legislature today, tomorrow is crossover day at the State House, which means a crucial deadline for passing bills. Senators and delegates spent hours on the floor today ahead of that cutoff. We bring you a look at legislation taken up in both chambers. And while legislative leaders say they'll pass a budget by day 60 of this 60-day legislative session, it's still not clear what that budget means for various areas of government. We check in with the president of the state's largest university about potential budget cuts for his institution. Coming up on the legislature today. Good evening, I'm Ashton Mara. The House has killed a bill that leadership says was key to balancing the 2018 budget. The bill was presented on behalf of Governor Jim Justice and originally would have raised $450 million in new taxes. But it drastically changed as it was worked through the committee process. Liz McCormick joins us with more.
House Bill 2816 would have put about $20 million back into the General Revenue Fund during the 2018 fiscal year. The governor's office says the budget hole for 2018 could be as high as $497 million. But House officials say that's because the governor attempted to increase state spending in the budget plan. The House's budget calls on closing about a $340 million gap. And without this bill, the chamber's finance chair says that will be more difficult to do.
Members of the House are working to meet a looming deadline in the legislative process, crossover day. That's the final day delegates can vote on bills that were first introduced to their chamber. House Bill 2816 is one of those bills and does three major things to help balance the 2018 budget. First, it eliminates the film tax credit, putting $5 million back into general revenue. Second, it ends a transfer of monies from sales taxes on automobile products to the state road fund, putting about $12 million back into general revenue. And third, it increases the beer barrel tax, which is estimated to bring in almost $3 million additional dollars. This bill was up for passage in the chamber today, but was immediately met with opposition from members on both sides of the aisle. Several Democrats and Republicans opposed the bill because of its elimination of the film tax credit. But it was the beer barrel tax increase that had delegates like Pat McGeehan from Hancock County fuming.
So I'd just like to know, are we conservatives here? I thought the Republicans controlled this chamber. Maybe not. I don't know. Some members in my party seem like they'd like to take us back to the 1920s and early 1930s as prohibitionists. It's not our job to pick and choose which legal products to tax. That's called the nanny state. It's called free enterprise. That's what we're supposed to embrace.
The bill failed 39-60. House Finance Chair Delegate Eric Nelson of Kanawha County says he was extremely surprised by the vote.
You know what, we're just going to continue to, our idea of having a budget out by tomorrow, which we were on a path of last Saturday, it's going to be very difficult now. So you either have to look at cuts or, you know, I hate to say it, revenue measures. And I don't think the body, if they don't look at a potential beer consumption change, where do you think they'll be? Difficult times right now.
The House voted on a number of other bills during its morning floor session. One of those was House Bill 2002. It requires a physician to notify the parent or guardian of a minor before she can get an abortion. A judge under the bill can waive that notification. Those opposed to the bill have argued that the current law protects minors who may have suffered from abuse, particularly by a parent. After discussions, the bill included some exemptions that Democrats supported, including allowing the doctor to petition the court for counseling that could determine if the minor is capable of making the decision independently. Delegate Barbara Evans Fleshauer, a Democrat from Monongalia County, supported the bill.
I rise in support of working in a bipartisan fashion. I would like to thank the chair and the vice chair of health especially, and also the chair and the vice chair of judiciary. There were some really serious issues in this bill, and we have some deep divisions about this bill, but we were able to come together.
The bill passed overwhelmingly, 98-0. Delegates also approved a bill that would allow the Commissioner of Agriculture to license individual growers to farm industrial hemp in the state. Hemp has previously been categorized as a Schedule I drug, making it illegal to grow or sell. But House Judiciary Chair John Schott says it's a misclassification, and the products that can be produced from the plant could revitalize southern West Virginia. The bill passed 99-0. Delegates also voted on House Bill 2711 to eliminate the Regional Educational Service Agencies, or RESAs. There are 8 RESAs in the state that provide support to local county school systems, but in recent years, Republican leaders and Governor Jim Justice himself have called them duplicative. The bill funds the RESAs for an additional year, giving them time to transfer property and records and then dissolve. Democratic Delegate Kenneth Hicks of Wayne County spoke in opposition to the bill.
The counties that have coal production who have lost a lot of funding, my county last week laid off 88 employees, and we depend on RESA. Our firefighters, our EMTs, our EMS people depend on RESA. The teachers depend on RESA in Wayne County, and I would oppose that and ask for a support in opposing this bill.
House Education Chair Delegate Paul Espinosa encouraged lawmakers to support the bill, pointing out the year-long transition period.
I think one of the key benefits of the committee substitute is that it does provide a transition phase that was absent from the governor's introduced bill. Again, I would say that with the governor's introduced bill, all funding and RESAs would end, you know, on June 30th. This legislation provides that transition phase to allow our local school districts to determine, you know, what structure best meets the needs of their school districts.
House Bill 2711 passed 76-24 and now heads to the Senate.
Delegates were also going to vote on House Bill 2933 today, another bill to increase revenues for the state. The bill in its current form reinstates a 3% food tax in October of this year and also gets rid of a number of exemptions to the current sales tax, like cell phones and professional services. It would lower the sales tax from 6 to 5% in July 2018, and it also puts a flat 5.1% rate on the personal income tax. All in all, the bill would bring in an additional $215 million between 2018 and 2020. Delegates have pushed consideration of this bill off until tomorrow.
Senators are also working to meet that crossover day deadline, voting on nearly 24 bills during their morning floor session. From flexibility in education to changes in public assistance benefits, here's a look at what happened in the Senate today.
Senators put a number of bills to a vote during their morning floor session, but delayed action on a controversial bill to make changes to leasing agreements in the oil and gas industry. The first of the bills to be put to a vote, though, would make changes to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. The biggest change would require SNAP beneficiaries to meet work requirements, phasing in October of this year. 9 counties currently have those work requirements through a pilot project previously created by the legislature. The bill would prohibit the use of SNAP cards at a number of locations, including liquor stores, swimming pools, casinos and racetracks, movie theaters, and theme parks. It would also require the Department of Health and Human Resources, which administers the program, to work with an outside vendor to create a system to track fraud within SNAP. Senator Ed Gonch explained the bill on the floor.
The idea behind this bill is to preserve these valuable dollars, which I believe will be dwindling in the near future from the federal government, to preserve those dollars for the people that need them the worst. That's all my intent is here.
Democratic Senator Bob Beach spoke against the bill. He believes it will negatively impact children in the state whose families rely on the benefits.
The average monthly SNAP benefit for each household member here in the state of West Virginia is $116. That's $1.29 per meal, $1.29 per meal. Folks, again, if you're looking at the economics of it, and many of you do, if For every dollar SNAP benefits, that's $1.70 in economic activity here in the state. Now, that number doesn't seem big, and it's not really. But when you talk about providing meals that cost us, well, it really doesn't cost us because it's for federal dollars, as we heard. It costs us $1.29, and we're going to make it more difficult for these folks to receive their benefits. Shame on us. Shame on us to do this. And you say it's not affecting children, they're taken out of the equation, but if it's affecting mom and dad, it certainly is affecting the children.
The bill was approved on a 21-12 vote and now goes to the House of Delegates. Senators also considered two education bills today that Senate Education Chair Kenny Mann described as bills that give local county boards of education more flexibility. The first, Senate Bill 401, makes changes to the way county boards reduce their staff when they have to lay off a large number of teachers and how to post positions that are open in the county. Mann, who was a former member of the Monroe County Board of Education, explained the biggest change is that counties would be allowed to decide those layoffs based on the qualifications in their county hiring policies. The bill also gets rid of the current lottery system in place for teachers with the same number of years of experience.
What they do now, if seniority matches at RIF time, if you don't have a policy in place, you have to go in and literally do a lottery system, whether drawing straws or what have you. And I've had teachers in the past that just didn't know about that, as when I first came on the board, I didn't know is it the same thing. So we've had a lot of people basically humiliated that they had to do this process.
The bill was approved on a 25-8 vote in the chamber. Mann also presented senators with Senate Bill 621 today. The bill says that once a county board of education has notified the West Virginia Board of Education that they'll be consolidating or closing a school, any rule changes, whether from the state board, the legislature, or any other entity, cannot impact that county decision.
This bill is just letting our five county board members that were elected by that particular county do what they were hired to do. And I've always said, once again, as a former school board member, we always trust that those, when we're elected by our county people, that they trust in us to know the finances, the setup, the structure, the kids, the people of that county the best.
The bill was approved on a 24-9 vote. Both education bills now head to the House of Delegates.
We go to North Central West Virginia now, where we meet three more members of the 83rd West Virginia Legislature in this edition of Meet Your Lawmakers.
Randy Smith is a Republican from Tucker County. He represents the 14th Senatorial District. Smith previously served two terms in the State House of Delegates. Smith chairs the Senate's Energy, Industry, and Mining Committee. Outside the State House, Smith works as a coal miner. Joe Statler was elected to the House of Delegates in 2014. A Republican, he represents the 51st District. Delegate Statler is from Monongalia County, where he served three terms on the county's Board of Education. He now serves as the Vice Chair of the House Education Committee. Rodney Piles is from Monongalia County. A Democrat, he also represents the 51st District. Piles was elected in 2016. He is retired, formerly serving as the Monongalia County Assessor.
Members of the House Finance Committee were presented with their 2018 budget proposal Saturday. While it wasn't a budget bill, it was a more detailed explanation of what Republican House leadership intends to include in their plan for the upcoming fiscal year. That plan, according to Finance Chair Eric Nelson, aims to protect higher education from additional budget cuts after lawmakers initially announced they'd reduce funding to the system by $50 million. West Virginia University President Gordon Gee sat down with me earlier today to discuss the potential budget implications for his university. President Gee, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
You're welcome. I'm honored to be here. Always honored to be with you.
Well, let's start. We have to start, obviously, by talking about the budget mm-hmm. and the threats to the university in terms of budget cuts for the upcoming year. But I'd like to start with some context. How much has the university been cut since you took over as president of WVU?
Well, I'm obviously very effective as president because we've been cut about $30 million, so my advocacy has not worked out very well. And you know, this has been a tough time for West Virginia, and we all understand that. I think that the role of the university is not to whine and complain, but rather to find solutions. And so one of the things we're doing is that we are also have a very aggressive program internally to allocate, reallocate, and to reduce our own budget by about $45 million. So about $45 million and then $30 million. So we're up there a pretty substantial amount of money that we're in the process of allocating and reallocating. My goal as the university president is to increase our quality and to moderate our costs. And I've said that to all of our colleagues in the legislature. We're not about just asking for money. We're about making tough decisions ourselves. If we do that, then we have every expectation that everyone else in the state will make those same kind of difficult decisions.
Over the course of these cuts, I know the university has gone to the State Higher Education Policy Commission, and the Board of Governors has made decisions too to increase tuition to offset some of those cuts. But you also implemented a program, a pretty serious fundraising program
yes.
to offset those tuition increases as well. Can you tell us about that program, where it stands today?
Yeah, first of all, our tuition, I make this point, if we were on the New York Stock Exchange, we'd be in the hottest stock in America because quality and cost, we are one of the high quality institutions for one of the lowest costs in America. Our tuition is about $8,000. You know, if at my other institutions, it would be two times, three times, four times that much. And in fact, many of the students who come from out of state pay less in out-of-state tuition at West Virginia University than they do in-state tuition at other institutions. So we are not bullish on tuition. We think that access, opportunity, quality is the important things that we have to deal with. So one of the ways we dealt with that is we just decided we were going to raise lots of money in support of our students. And in support of scholarships. So we have just crossed the $1 billion mark in terms of having raised money. Not all of it is going into student support, but a lot of it is. And the purpose of that is to keep our costs moderate and to make certain that students have access to the university so they come because they are worthy of the university, not because of the fact they can afford to pay.
Now, we're less than 2 weeks now till the end of the legislative session, and legislative leaders in both the House and Senate have said that their goal is to pass a budget by day 60. And initially, that budget was going to cut higher education by $50 million. WVU has been said to take cuts anywhere from $5 million to as much as $20 million in this upcoming 2018 fiscal year. What do cuts like that mean to the university?
Well, you know, at some point, what we have to do in this state, you know, I don't want to talk about the Washington Monument or the horribles. Anyone knows that a university taking that kind of a budget reduction would be very difficult for the university and for the state and for all the people that are here. I like to think about it from the other side of the telescope, which is this. In this state, at this time, with economic difficulty, the state legislature needs to make the appropriate decisions to fund and support those things that have a great return on investment and that will make the future of West Virginia bright. And those things that are no longer do that, then we need to think about eliminating or consolidating. And that is what we need to do. This university, my institution, your institution, is the most powerful economic engine in the state. We produce more jobs. We produce more opportunities. We provide growth, which is incredible. And the minute, why would anyone? This is always my point. Why would you take money away from an institution that is going to return $10 for every dollar you invested in? Now, everyone can have ROI, but we have it. And we represent, I think, the future of the state. Think about this, two things. One is the fact that there are 11.8 million jobs that were created since 2008. That is since the bottom of the recession. Only 80,000 of those jobs required a high school education or less. In other words, if West Virginia is going to become a state that is viable and has a future is going to have to invest in its education, particularly its higher education, because that is what is creating jobs and creating options for people to stay here.
Well, that was a message that you shared in your State of the University address last week, essentially telling lawmakers that cutting not just your university, but cutting higher education in general is going to be detrimental to the economy of the state of West Virginia.
Well, it is. I mean, that's a fact. So the point is let's invest in the things that should be invested in. And by the way, our friends in the legislature understand that, and they're all our friends. There is not a single person that I've visited with most of our legislators who do not believe in the university. As I say, you know, they believe in us, they love us, they don't have enough money, but that's all right. What they have to do is we are now at that inflection point in the state of West Virginia. It's a wonderful time to be here, because when there's just enough money to go around, no one has to make a tough decision, and you can spread money around like marmalade. But that is not where we are right now. We have to have an investment strategy. Our governor has said that. The leaders of the Senate and the leaders of the House have said that. Everyone has said that. Now we have to make certain that it is not about politics, but it's about the future of our kids. It's about the future of our old people. It's about the future of health care. It's about the future of investment. Those are the decisions that now need to be made. And so to be a university president requires a lot of courage at the moment. To be a legislator requires a lot of courage. To be a governor requires a lot of courage. We have courageous people in the state. They will make the right decision if given the opportunity to do so.
Well, President Gee, I have to talk to you about another section of the budget that's very near and dear, I guess, to our audience, and that is our budget as West Virginia Public Broadcasting. The governor initially in his budget plan zeroed out our state funding. He's since put us back into the budget under the condition that we'll transition away from state government under the guise or our license, essentially, will go into the fold of the West Virginia University system. I understand that those might not have been detailed discussions so far this session, but can you tell us about what you have spoken with the governor's office about in terms of West Virginia?
Well, we've had general discussions, obviously, with Scott Finn and others who are very important to this issue. We want to make certain that we are not viewed in any way as predatory, but that we would be a great place to be housed if everything is right for public television, public radio. You know, this is like closing a circle. When I was here 37 years ago, the license belonged to the university, and then it evolved into a statewide network. So, in many ways, it's like returning home. And if everything is right for public broadcasting, for the university, and if we can be great partners, then we'll do that. If not, then we should not do that. But I believe that university is a wonderful place to have a public broadcasting, public education system, so to speak, through broadcasting housed.
Dr. Gordon Gee, president of West Virginia University, thank you so much for joining us.
Wonderful to be here.
The West Virginia Capitol Building was dedicated on the state's 69th birthday in 1932. The 8-year construction project, designed by Cass Gilbert, cost just under $10 million. Today, thousands flock to the building each year to learn about the state's history, and tonight, we revisit the story of one of the people sharing West Virginia's story in the Capitol Building, Marianne Long.
My name is Marianne Long, and I'm the tour guide supervisor here at the Capitol. I am the hostess of the Capitol. When folks come in to go around our Capitol and look around, I'm the one that shows them around. There's several days I've walked 13 to 20 miles here in the Capitol just doing tours. But it's fun. It's fun. We do have a standard tour. We start down in the rotunda. We tell them some history on the Capitol, look up at the big old chandelier, and then we come upstairs and we do the Senate and the House foyer and into the Senate chambers. Well, when we come into the chambers, we tell them about how many senators and how many delegates there are, of course. We tell them where the news media sets. We talk about the chandelier, the columned lights, the desk that are the original desk to the Capitol. They're made of black walnut, which is found right here in our beautiful West Virginia mountains. We tell them how long they're in, the process. They're in for 60 days, for instance. And a lot of times some of the delegates and senators will come out and talk to our children, which they love.
This gentleman is Robert C. Byrd.
My favorite story is Senator Byrd. When I first started here, I always made a joke about Senator Byrd that he's so life-size of his statue, it fits his personality. Well, I had said that, and there was a lady from a different state came in, and she kind of got huffied up. She says, well, I don't think that's funny. And I'd only been here like 2 or 3 days, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my job. You know? But he is bigger than life for us. I mean, if you look around West Virginia, the things he has done for West Virginia, he is, to the West Virginians, he is bigger than life. Well, I think it's important, again, because we are the hostess. We tell people all about West Virginia. It's just not the capital. And plus, this is a beautiful building. People need to know the history of West Virginia. That's my job, to tell people the history of West Virginia and what a great state this is.
Tomorrow on our show, it's crossover day, the final day for lawmakers to vote on bills originating in their chambers. While members of both the House and Senate vote on the dozens of pieces of legislation left, we'll check in with the governor's office and on the progress of their legislative priorities. Governor Jim Justice's Deputy Chief of Staff, Jason Pizzatella, joins us tomorrow. This has been The Legislature Today. I'm Ashton Mara. Thanks for joining us.
Support for The Legislature Today is provided by the following.
AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State. Online at aarp.org/WV. West Virginia University. Online at wvu.edu. From West Virginia Public Broadcasting.